I have a little friend with me. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. For whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways to learn more about the way that we are church together. Your bulletin is full of announcements and calendars. Please don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any of your questions or comments. We have a few announcements this morning. First, if you have not been watching the news, you know that the flu is running rampant. And so in order to do our best as a community of faith to keep everyone healthy, two things. One, this Sunday, neither Carol Ann nor I will be shaking hands. So we will be standing at doors, but rather than spreading the germs, we'll greet you with Christ's peace with a head nod. So, and also we had anticipated passing the peace following the ordination and installation of elders, but we will also not do that. So you can share a smile as the peace of Christ this morning. So, and second announcement, in case you were wondering what you might be doing on the one Sunday this month that there's no football, do I have an opportunity for you. On January 27th, we will be holding our annual congregational meeting with a little bit of a twist. With some celebration and thank yous, we will be celebrating indeed the ministry and mission of GPC that was in 2012. And there will also be a potluck. So take a look in your bulletin. It is a soup, salad, dessert, bread potluck. Bring one or all of those, and we will have a great time together. And following that will then also be the officer training for all current and newly elected trustees, deacons, and elders. But anyone who wants to come hang out is more than welcome. Carol Ann has a few announcements.
I wanted to remind youth that the Movie Madness deadline is today, and I confess that I am not always good at keeping deadlines when these things come around, and I'm a little bit of a wimp about letting you extend the deadline. But this is a presbytery deadline, and so they are good about keeping deadlines. So please put your registration form in my box in my office. Also, I wanted to share with you a personal hope, and that is that next Saturday at the Blue Mountain Coffee House, I am hopeful in the middle of it to announce that we have completely met our goal for the basic school. That we will be able to build that school in months. It's been a five-year project. I'm sure many of you have probably forgotten when we started or are sick of hearing about it, but it is actually a very exciting thing. We are building a school for a neighborhood that is very impoverished in Jamaica. But I need your help. One, it would be great if you could be at the Blue Mountain Coffee House. Two, we need desserts. Three, we need performers. Four, we need people that will help set up for it on Friday night. So Sally Christensen will be in the fellowship hall selling tickets. And please join us in this exciting event.
Indeed, there is a lot to celebrate and give thanks to God for here at Gates Presbyterian Church. So let us join our hearts in a time of worship.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. God's voice speaks to our chaos, echoing in our empty hearts. God's voice flows like the living waters of grace.
Our new name, beloved, sounding in our souls.
God's voice stirs the waters of baptismal hope.
Calling us to serve in the world of our hopes.
Please pray with me. God, you have given us water to hold in common and share, and yet we confess that some have so much while others have so little. You shower us with your abundant love, but we act as if there were not enough to go around. We fear scarcity in so many aspects of our lives. In our fear, we create it. We are your beloved. Help us to love as we are loved. Like the melting snow of winter that releases life-giving water, God thaws the iciness of our hearts. Thanks be to God for water's tidings of grace.
Thank you.
The first reading of the word comes from Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight. And honored, I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear. I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, for whom I formed and made.
our second scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Years ago, I had the honor of serving on the National Board of the Presbyterian Health Education and Welfare Association, whose networks are involved in social ministry across this country. And during that time, I met some of the most incredible pioneers of our denomination, committed to living out their faith in real and often pretty radical ways. One man was by the name of the Reverend Chuck Booker Hirsch. He's a pastor and also a member of the Presbyterian Peace Fellowship, a group dedicated to being nonviolent peacemakers. Now, Chuck took a stand in 2001 against violence by joining an annual rally and vigil in Georgia to close what remains known among millions of our Latin American neighbors as the School of Assassins, the U.S. Army School of the Americas. He would become one of hundreds who would be not just arrested, but incarcerated for committing an act of nonviolent disobedience. Chuck's congregation paid his fine and then subsequently went without a pastor, as he served for 3 months in a federal prison. Now, Chuck writes and talks about his experience of the dehumanizing process that commences once you walk into the door of a prison, being photographed, assigned a number, and strip searched of every bodily cavity for the possibility of drugs or weapons. And after the extensive questioning by law enforcement officers and medical personnel, Chuck was escorted into a highly public holding pen that he called the bubble, where new inmates are placed with others for intense observation. And he talks about how quickly these experiences made him feel like he was no longer a person, more like an animal or a nobody. And we don't need to visit the inside of a prison to experience the denigrating sense of nobodiness that is pervasive in our lives today. We are now going on 4 generations of an urban crisis, of undervalued people who live lives of desperate poverty and hopelessness, whose only resources seem to be drugs, to anesthetize, or to make money in the absence of viable employment opportunities. And then the guns and violent crime that inevitably come along too. In his famous letters from the Birmingham jail, which reach the 50-year-old mark this year, Martin Luther King Jr. responded to white ministers who asked him to slow down and not press so insistently and stubbornly for equality and justice. "Can't you be patient?" the minister asked King. And King wrote, "When you have seen the vicious mobs lynch your mothers and fathers, when you find your tongue twisted as you seek to explain to your 6-year-old daughter why she can't go to the public amusement park and see tears welling up when she is told that Funtown is closed to colored children, and see the depressing clouds of inferiority begin to form in her little mental sky, when you are forever fighting a denigrating sense of nobodiness, then you will understand why we can't wait." A denigrating sense of nobodiness is at the heart of Martin Luther King Jr.'s leadership of a civil rights movement that was not only a passion for social justice based on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, but a deeply held theological conviction, a deeply held biblical truth that human beings, every human being, regardless of color, race, station in life, nationality, income, or sexual orientation, every human being is a child of God and worthy of being loved. Fighting for and offering that reminder was not something Dr. King could wait for. And while my friend Chuck was sitting in a prison bubble, he received his reminder in the form of a postcard from one of the many people who wrote him and offered prayers of support. This particular postcard came from another Presbyterian pastor who just happened to be the pastor that was his confirmation teacher as a child. It had 5 words on it. "Dear Chuck, remember your baptism." Chuck writes about that moment. "The Reverend Judy Sutherland remembered my baptism, and largely because she heard the song God had given me one day, nearly 30 years before, and sang it back to me while my memory of it was fading, I was able to carry on in the most dehumanizing environment I have ever known or wish to know. I was able to carry on as the only misdemeanor inmate in a prison with over 300 felons for the next 3 months, 360 miles from home. Feeling like a nobody in a place filled with others who had been told over and over again that they were nobodies, Chuck heard the promise that he and everyone with him was a child of God and beloved. Have you listened for that promise lately? course, many of us heard it at our baptisms, the promise that we are a beloved child of God, the promise that our parents make to teach us about that love, and the promise a congregation makes to encourage and support us and pray for us as we grow in that love and find ways to respond to it. We may not remember the literal moment that it all happened if we were baptized as infants, but the whispers of that promise that we are beloved are all around us, especially when they are difficult to hear. In her book, The Gift of Years, Sister Joan Chittister reflects on retirement and unemployment in general as being of one of those times that those promises are really difficult to hear. She observes that we live in a society in which people routinely ask what we do immediately after they ask our name, that our identity is tied to and dependent on what we do for a living. And so unemployment, for whatever cause, is not just a financial crisis, but an emotional identity crisis as well. Who are you when you're not doing what you used to do? And she writes that she found herself stripped of all the accessories of life. I am face to face with my life. And the fear is that there isn't one. I have spent my life being somebody important, and now there is nothing left but me. I no longer run anything. I'm not becoming anything. I'm just me. And it is precisely at that moment, which comes to all of us, in one way or another, sooner or later, that we all need to be reminded of that life-giving word. You are my beloved. You are my child. So hear those words this morning. Whoever you are, whatever journey you're on, whatever is happening or not happening in your life, whether you're facing surgery, grieving a loss, worried about your job, quietly frustrated and frightened because you can't find a job, just bumping along, wondering if you are doing the right thing, wondering who you really are. Hear those words from God and remember your baptism. You are beloved. Hear those words. And when you actually start to believe them, even just a little tiny bit, allow them to ring in your ears and in your heart as an impatient challenge to discipleship. In other words, you are beloved. Now be love. The deacons, elders, and trustees I will call forth in a moment have heard these words of promise and are promising to God and to this community of faith to be love by using their gifts to serve God and others. You may not be responding to this call to serve as a leader of GPC at this time, but that challenge is still for you. So how will you use the gifts God has given you to be love? in this world? How will you whisper to others that you recognize the ways that they are a child of God? How will you have the courage to share with others your own struggles of feeling like a nobody in this world? How will you assure someone that who they are is enough? It is in these waters of baptism that we are named as God's beloved, and we are called to be love in this world. May it be so. So come with me to the waters. These waters that mark us as God's beloved, that challenge and invite each one of us to be love to one another. Dear friends, on this day of recreation, we recall all of God's saving acts through water. We remember Christ's baptism, and we claim and remember our own. We also reflect on the promises we, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, make to one another. We have promised to guide and nurture one another by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging each other to know and follow Christ, and to be faithful members. We gather at this font of living water to celebrate these promises of God's never-ending, ever-flowing, redeeming grace. We long to draw deep from the well of God's mercy. We celebrate the Spirit with us, refreshing, renewing, making us one. Amen.
Thank you. to join me in the celebration of the gifts of those called to service through ordination and installation printed in the bulletin. In Christ, we are made one, and we all belong to each other.
We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us.
If your gift is to hear God's word,
speak it out in faith.
If your gift is service,
live to serve others.
If your gift is the heart of a teacher,
teach what is true.
We celebrate our individual gifts and affirm that we are all called in all things
to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate in the name of Christ our commitment to nurture, support, and sustain the spiritual gifts of all gathered.
May we be enjoined together this day in living out a shared ministry which emulates the life and witness of Christ.
Holy God, bless this covenant of people ministering together, responding to the promises of our baptisms. May we witness your gifts in one another. May we grow together in joy and wisdom as we venture forth praising your Spirit. Amen.
At this time, I invite the following persons to come forward, and we're going to stand here in a semicircle on this side of the pulpit. Those elected to serve as elders: Linda Beatty, Cheryl Fennell, Sherry McFarlane, Tammy Pignone, Lucia Versteeg, Jessica Berkovich. Come stand right over here. Have you make a half circle. And those who are elected to serve as deacons: Fran Paro, Bonnie Beckett, Mary Hadley, James Poole, Carol Howell, who could not be here this morning, enjoying the warmth of Florida, Barb Snaith, Brenda Thornton, and Ashley Frisch. Those elected to serve as trustees: John Schrammel, Rob Waugh, Marty Oman, Jan Buettner, David Keeling. And those who are re-elected to serve as our treasurer: Tracy Berkovich, re-elected to serve as our financial secretary: Vicky Utau. This is a great group. So we ask all of you, do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all, and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, please respond, I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you?
And do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you?
Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions?
And will you be governed by our church's polity? Will you abide in its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and Spirit? Will you?
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world, will you?
Do you promise to further the peace, the unity, and the purity of the church, do you?
Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, will you?
This time, I'm going to invite the newly elected elders. That's all the elders, so come forward. We're going to come to the communion table, just the elders. Friends, will you be faithful elders, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? Do we, as the members of the church, accept Linda and Cheryl, Sherry, Tammy, Lucia, and Jessica to serve as elders chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the ways of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And do we encourage them? Respect their decisions. Follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ alone, who is head of the church. Say, we do.
At this time, I invite all ordained elders in the church to come forward and place your hands on the shoulders of those being ordained.
Linda, Tammy, and Jessica, take a little step forward. Place our hands on
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Linda, Tammy, and Jessica, that they may be faithful elders in the church. Give them wisdom and courage, humility and compassion to serve as the spiritual leaders of this family of faith. In all things, may they be servant leaders following Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life to set others free. Amen. You are now elders in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Oh, elders that are just being ordained and installed, don't sit down. You guys stay up there. Yeah, I'm talking to you too. Look at the troublemakers already. Thank you. I'd like to keep you all up here for a while.
At this time, with newly elected deacons, come forward and stand in front of the communion table with us. Will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? Do we, the members of the church, accept Bonnie Beckett, Mary Hadley, Carol Howell, James Poole, Barb Snaith, Brenda Thornton, Fran Perrow, and Ashley Frisch as deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Do you agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? If so, please say we do.
Mary, Fran, and Ashley, why don't you take a few steps forward? These are our folks who are being freshly ordained. And would all of those who have been ordained as a deacon of Gates Presbyterian Church come forward and lay hands on those being ordained? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Mary, Fran, and Ashley, that they may be faithful deacons in the church. Give them wisdom and courage, humility and compassion to serve as the spiritual leaders of this family of faith. In all things, may they be servant leaders, following Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life to set others free. Amen. Mary, Fran, and Ashley, you are now deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ, and for this congregation, be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the light of Christ in this world. All the deacons who came to lay on hands, you may be seated. You guys take that step back to the pulpit. And at this time, I'm going to ask that the newly elected trustees and the re-elected officers come forward, stand here in front of the communion table with us. These folks have a big job, but it's you all who get to answer the questions. Do we, the members of the church, accept Tracy and John and Rob and Jan and David and also Vicky and Marty, who couldn't be here, as trustees and officers chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ, fulfilling their fiduciary responsibilities? Do we?
We do.
Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we?
We do.
You are now, and perhaps again, trustees and officers, the Church of Jesus Christ, and for this congregation, be faithful and true in your ministry, so that your whole life will bear witness to the light of Christ in this world. You may go back and stand with the group as we pray together.
We celebrate the gifts that God has blessed each of you with for ministry. Let us now pray together.
Gracious God,
you have called each of us by name to be a part of your realm. We thank you for such gifts. Bless upon those here today who are responding to your call and fulfilling particular roles in the life of the church. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your servants, and you call
now. You all may be seated, and we are excited for your commitment to service. And normally we would pass the peace, but as these folks are sitting down, I invite you just to stay seated, to turn to the person on your right and say, "You are beloved." Turn to the person on your left. Say, you are beloved.
And they just love this.
You are beloved.
You are beloved.
I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Andrea Unson, I ask prayers for my Aunt Laura, who is home. She is very sick with the flu. Please pray for her. She had a last year was awful and in the hospital. So please pray that she gets well quickly. Thank you.
Ed Coons. Kathy and I would ask prayers for Kathy's mom, Geraldine, in Elmira, who's currently in Arnett Hospital. She went in last Monday with pneumonia, and unfortunately while she was there, the doctors have discovered some other problems. They're testing for what they think might be cancer, and we're waiting for test results this week. So prayers for Geraldine and also the family as they struggle through this time. Thank you.
Tracy Berkovich, big weekend for Jessica. She just stood up and was ordained as an elder, and she was also accepted this week into the National Honor Society. And Samantha turned 13 last week.
Jan Buettner, I'd like to ask prayers for my friend Kathy Heaton, whose husband, Tom Heaton, passed away this week. He was 64, had been in the hospital very sick for quite a while, and so prayers for their family.
Prayers for a baby going through some health issues.
Cheryl Fennell, prayers for our grandson, Charlie Peter, who was born December 30th, and we're anxious to see him. He's making some positive strides in the right direction, so we just ask for your prayers.
The last couple of months have been quite a blur. Three trips back and forth to Phoenix and going from hope that something was treatable to finding out my dad had acute leukemia and was very aggressive. But dad did pass a week ago, and I want to thank this congregation for all the support, the love, and the prayers that you gave to us. Thank you.
The prayers for the family of a very good friend of ours, Frank Dietrich, who passed away suddenly in his sleep.
Also prayers for Rena Bills and her family as they celebrate David's life this afternoon here at 2. We also have prayers from our children this morning. They have a lot of great joy. Prayers of joy for getting braces removed, and prayers for going to the Hinchy House and Build-A-Bear. Prayers for getting an Elvis ornament. That's prayer joy. And prayers of those also who are sick, a lot of friends with the flu and want to feel better. Prayers for those who are going through tryouts, football and color guard and lacrosse. And also prayers of concern for a teacher who's having surgery.
Let us pray. God of new beginnings, you call us in the midst of our daily routines to join you in your ministry here on earth. We hear your call and often wonder if we have time, if we have talent, if we have resources. Forgive us, O God, for our hesitations. Fill us with awe and wonder at the very privilege of being your partners in ministry. Remind us that you grant us what we need to serve you. And this morning we come giving you thanks for our new officers. Fill them with your vision enliven them with your Spirit. Show us ways in which we can be supportive of their work. Help each of us to find places in the ministry and mission of Gates Presbyterian Church where we can serve you with passion and dedication. We also this morning pray for guidance as we individually and as a nation seek solutions to the increasing violence in our country. Help us to listen to each other in ways that reflect respect and honest effort to problem solve. Caring God, we ask that you be with all who are going through difficult times. This morning we pray for the Bills family as they grieve the loss of David. We give you thanks for David and the way he has touched our lives. Show us ways to be supportive of Rena in the days to come. And we ask that you now hear us as together we pray the prayer of our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Let's bring our gifts forward.
God, you bless us with so many gifts. Help us to open our hearts to recognize them and to offer them back to you in service in all that we do, now and always. Amen. For our closing hymn, these are good. For our closing hymn, we are going to only sing verses 1 and 2. So 1 and 2.
Thank you.
The ordination and installation, I asked you all to turn to your neighbors and tell them that they are beloved. It indeed was a moment of grace when this place came alive with energy. Take that energy, go out into the world and share it with all those whom you meet, that God's promises are for us all. Go in the name of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the courage of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.